Hello, babe.
Welcome to the Bitter End podcast, episode 3. I'm Todd Jordan, and I am joined by...
Mr. Tom Denny.
Mr. Tom Denny, in his home in tropical Brighton, England. So, this is the podcast where we are franchise detectives, working our way systematically through every film in a franchise, for better or worse, to the bitter end. At the moment, we are currently really getting stuck into Friday the 13th. We've watched the first two.
Boy, are we getting stuck in.
And today, we're here to talk about Friday the 13th 3, 3D. But we're not watching it in 3D.
No, I don't know if you can actually get it in 3D.
Probably not anymore.
Probably not. But I think we'll probably be able to tell the shots that were meant to be in 3D. I think they're going to stick out like a sore thumb, and I'm looking forward to it.
I feel like we might. So, quick recap. We watched the first one. We basically dug it. We watched the second one. It wasn't bad.
Followed at the last minute.
Let us down a little with the ending, but was essentially a romp. Now, Tom, we've just watched the trailer for number 3. And let me tell you what, there is a lot of Jason running around with a hockey mask on.
Yeah.
Looking like the Jason from our nightmares of youth.
Exactly.
We're getting him, finally. 3 movies in, we're getting the iconic Jason. How do you feel about that?
I'm pretty stoked for it. I'm interested, how much, they obviously, fuck, we've nailed the character, designed for Jason now. It's a guy in an ice hockey mask. That's going to be great. And they put him in the trailer a fuckload. Whereas in the first one, you just see a plaid shirt kind of go through some glass. They're still hiding who the killer is. In this one, they're kind of like, nah, it's Jason. But here's the twist, guy. He looks like a fucking shit ton harder than he did in the last one.
Yeah, it's like they packed the old guy plus a couple of beef roasts all into one plaid shirt.
It's like he ate all the guys he killed in the last. He ate Muffin, the dog from the end of the second one, and Paul. I'm hoping that was the that's why they weren't around at the very ending. They thought, where's Paul? He got eaten by Jason. Also, other just note, we've been quite critical of the trailers. They really nailed the pacing, I think, in this one.
Oh, yeah, please do. So do recount what happens in the trailer then for the listeners. If you want to pause the podcast right now, go watch the trailer. It's on YouTube. It's worth a watch. It's a pretty good trailer. But if you can't be bothered to do that, Tom Denny here will recount it for you right now.
Same as the other ones. Looks like a load of people are going to die, but they just don't take a lot of time fucking around with it. They just get on with it. They still got the counting, that trademark counting in the trailer. Still got the same guy doing the voiceover, but it's punchy, it's pacey, and you've got lots of Jason, and they're setting up for the fact that basically he is going to be this walking brick shit house that is not going to stop until everyone's dead.
I'm feeling like this one's going to have a pretty high kill count. I'm just getting that vibe from it.
I mean, they keep on alluding to that there's going to be at least 12. I don't think we've ever gotten 12, but maybe this will be the one where we get 12, maybe even 13.
Not by our count. Let's get it on record, Tom. If you're going to pick a number out of the air and say how many deaths you think we're going to get, and then we'll revisit this once we watch the movie. How many do you think?
What did I say last time? Just give me 10. 10?
Yeah, because so the first film was supposed to have 11. Last time we were supposed to get 10, we only counted 9. Okay, 10 from number 3. All right, that sounds plausible. I feel like we can easily do that. It looks like it's going to be deaths aplenty.
I'm sure the film could pull that off.
Yeah, okay, cool. So, last little bit of housekeeping then, before we just really just dive headlong into what Mr. Voorhees has got for us today. Do you want to take a guess at the IMDb score for this movie? Bearing in mind, first one 6.5, second one 6.1.
I think
it's a downward trend.
Yeah, but I don't know. The trailer for this, I'm pumped. Maybe it's just like my psyche at the moment, but I'm pumped for it. It looks like it's going to be banging. I think we're going to go back up to a 6.5. I think we're going to go up.
Okay. I hate to break it to you, buddy. 5.7.
Oh!
Yeah, incremental. None of these are massive drops, but you look at the fact that I believe there's 12 films in this entire franchise.
Yeah.
If these incremental drops keep up the downward trend, we are in for some rough times ahead. One last thing to comment on. First movie, 1980. Second movie, 1981.
Is this 82?
This is 82, so they are keeping up the pace of a movie a year.
I think that they do this for quite a few films. I think they're just fucking rattling them off. That they they're like, cut, print, see the premiere on Tuesday. Wednesday, I'm locking you in a shed with a load of cocaine and you have to blast out a script and we're filming on Saturday.
Which might be why the last one unfortunately kind of ran out of steam right at the end there.
Because they ran out of cocaine. Yeah, it really, I still stings at the end. Was such a, it was just such a, it dropped off, like literally. It was like watching, you know, like the Grindhouse movies where they had like the real missing bit. It felt like maybe there was a real missing. Hopefully we won't have that in this, but shall we dive in?
I think let's dive in and let's see what big old Jason has got to reap upon us today.
Ding dong.
Ding dong. Okay, we're diving in, guys. See you in a minute. Okay, we're back.
That we are.
Oh, my God. Like, guys, we just completely and utterly watched Friday the 13th, part 3.
3D.
3D.
Not in 3D.
We didn't watch it in 3D. But, oh, my God, did the filmmakers want us to watch it in 3D? They really, really wanted that.
Oh, that was great. I really enjoyed that film. The pace of it, it had something I don't feel that the other ones had. I don't know if it was better, but it was very enjoyable.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know.
Do you feel the same way?
Yeah, and I feel like we'll get to ranking the films maybe a little bit later. Yeah. But like, if I sound like I don't have as much energy in my voice as when I started, it's just because I've literally spent 90 minutes going, what?
It's like that.
Oh my God. So I'm just, my throat is exhausted from gasping.
Yeah, it was like that. I mean, it kicks off that the first thing you get is, was it? The soundtrack thing doesn't come in until after the first kill.
Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah. The formula is still very much the same. That you've got like the initial
The recap.
You've got the recap, which is unlike the part two, where they show you the finale of part one, but like they edit it, like they cut it down. This, they just show it in its entirety.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from one trick shot at the end where the main girl from 2 runs away and then you see like Jason is still alive, which is really stupid because you knew that Jason was still alive at the end of the second one anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, so then we're moving on and then we've got this kind of like redneck couple in a like a convenience store. And they're just bumbling about, doing their thing, doing their biz, shouting at each other, and the wife is watching the television. She's seeing a news report about the killings in 2, and she's like, my God, that's terrible. So it's a news report, so this has literally just happened.
It's breaking news, yeah.
Breaking news. It's just happened, and then somebody, maybe it's Jason Voorhees, yeah, he shows up and he fucking kills them.
He
kills them, and then this fucking pounding like funk soundtrack just comes in. Boom, boom, boom,
boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom.
Comes in and it's in 3D and all the titles fucking leap out of the screen at you. Even not in 3D, they like nearly poke your eye out because it's just like starring, directed by, and it's like, okay, this is not going to be a subtle film.
No.
And but the thing that you really tell is that there is a very distinct difference in tone 1 year apart from part two. It's like the tone has changed. It's 1982. The 80s has properly kicked in.
Yeah, all of a sudden they're not concerned about this film being sexy or titillating. This isn't about, like, people in really tight cut-off denim anymore. This is about people being urban.
I mean, there's still a little bit of titillation.
There's gangs and stoners all of a sudden.
Yeah. There's like a guy who is like basically like a white guy version of like Chong from Cheech and Chong. Like, you know, like totally that character.
Yeah.
And he's got like a stoner girlfriend who has a necklace that is a boot that she hangs around her neck. And then they go into the town, and now the town suddenly has a three-person gang. And they are like the most 80s gang. They have leather jackets and bandanas and sass and chains and stuff like that. Yeah, it's really... the 80s fucking drops in hard on this film.
Yeah, it clotheslines you.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, 1982, guys. Like, wake up and smell the leather jackets.
And something, as we've been watching these films, we've noted this is the first film that has any kind of diversity in it.
Yeah.
All one and two are basically just full of white people.
Everybody looks like Fred from Scooby-Doo.
In this, you know, like, it's not an all-white cast. So, like, you know, we were wondering how long it was going to take before some diversity kicked in. Three. Okay. You know, 82. Cool. I'm glad it wasn't later than...
Yeah.
Later than that. So, you know, we're off and running. So yeah, where are we at? So like this is, so the events of this film are just happening just after the events of two. So Jason must be running around with a fucking great big machete wound in his shoulder, but he will not stop. He's shaved his head apparently. So there's a few slight continuity.
I don't understand why his head is shaved. Like in the second one, it's on the same night. He distinctively has like long, scraggly, roadie hair.
Shock. Because that's the thing that happens. Sometimes people... I mean, he's just had a fucking great machete into his shoulder. And, like, people go into shock. You know, like, you have, like... You know, like, you could fall on your head and, like... And people have, like... All their hair will fall out. Like, boom! Because they've taken a pounding or, like, he's hit a nerve or something like that. And it's just made all their hair fall out. So maybe... That's it, because I wouldn't want to suggest that the people who put on their hard time and effort into this film would let a continuity error like that slide.
No.
Although, I mean, he also, Jason must be a trooper. You know, the machete to the shoulder in film two, that was just, that's a flesh wound.
Don't faze him, son. it's worth talking a little bit about like the changes that they make to Jason. I think he's noticeably like he's thicker. He is a little bit more of the unstoppable machine that I wanted him to be.
Yes, he's
when I mentioned in the previous podcast, I was saying that I wanted this film to be Jason walking through walls, you know, Jason crossing water, Jason stopping at nothing to, you know, to get to you.
He's more relentless and terrifying.
He's more relentless. He's not quite left the realms of being human. There's a bit where he gets stabbed in, I think, the knee, and you hear him go, "Ooh!"
Yeah.
Which is cool, that's fine.
He's still not like a supernatural character. Yeah. But he's just like an unrelenting brick shithouse of a man. And that was good. And like, and I think the fact that there was that change in his character changed the way that they showed him. Because the first two films, even though the first one didn't have Jason in, they've been reliant on like a lot of like POV kind of shots. And like, oh, when's he going to sneak up? When's he going to sneak up? When's this person going to appear? But in this, the first time you actually see Jason kill somebody, he just fucking walks out bold as day. With a spear gun.
Oh, yeah.
All right. He just, like, and that is, like, a very jarring thing. He's kind of like, oh, okay, they're not fucking around. Like, they're going to show. So, like, they do that then in, like, a load of other scenes where someone will be backing into a room and you'll just see Jason stood behind him in the background, just like this big monolith. It's like, oh fuck, he's gonna kill that guy. So they're not afraid to show Jason more. Maybe it's because they're kind of like, they've got the character look for Jason down. Like, they obviously, like, got this ice hockey mask, and they were like, ah, oh, where have you been on my life?
Well, the hockey mask is there, and I was worried, not having seen this film, that, like, all of a sudden, they'd just suddenly show him, and he would just suddenly have the mask, you know? Whereas last film, he had the bag on his head. But they do make a half-assed attempt of him. He steals it from this other dorky kid who's, like, playing around, pretending to be a murderer with a hockey mask.
He has lots of outfits and, like, practical gags. So I like the idea that Jason is walking around in, like, a... you know, like a novelty gag store ice hockey mask.
Yeah. But it just looks so good, man. It just looks so good. Like, when you first see him walk out frame with that mask, it is good.
It lends a lot to the character.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, like, this is because we know that is, like, how the character looks. Mm. But, like, it really fucking, like, ooh, it's like a step up. And... maybe it's also, I don't know if it's a different guy playing Jason in this one.
I'm not sure. I haven't looked at the credits.
But maybe if it's a different guy playing Jason in this one, that's just something about, like, the way that this other guy is playing the character. And you get to see Jason without his mask on as well. A lot more in this.
Yeah.
Which you don't really expect to see.
So it is interesting that, because this film is basically entirely without Mrs. Voorhees.
Mm.
Jason doesn't really have much of a motive on these kids. They're not camp counselors. They're not on the camp. He's just roaming. He's just exploring.
They do tie it in, though, that the main girl in this had an encounter with Jason 2 years previously. So as the first film was set in the present day, second film was set 5 years after. So that would be
2020.
So this was in 2018.
Yeah.
That she encountered him. She encountered him in 2018. So she encountered him in 2018, she got away. Yeah. She escaped, but she's gone back to her parents' log cabin in the woods with a group of friends that she spends no time with, and her horrific sort of boyfriend.
Oh, he's the worst. I hate this guy.
Everyone's gone away on a trip away, and you don't really know why. I guess for a bit of a knockabout in the woods. Mm. But, like, yeah, he is terrible. The boyfriend is terrible.
He's, like, 15 years older than her.
Yeah. I mean, they kind of get, you know, like, they're trying to come up with reasons to keep people at this lake. So I get it. You know, I think that's, you know, it's an all right reason, and maybe it's a slightly older group. That's cool. And, you know, you've got the gang as well, like this weird, like, street punk gang that live in a very rural area for some reason.
Maybe they're just passing through.
They get dispatched. So, like, why don't we go into, like, you must have maybe some sort of list of kills, perhaps. Because there isn't really a plot.
Well,
you know.
One thing to address, I will absolutely run down my list of my top three kills for you. I kept count of the kills.
Oh, yeah.
So, Tom, what I would like you to do is kill a little bit of... this is our first kill.
Mm.
Kill a little bit of dead air for me while I count these kills. So maybe make a noise, sing a little jingle, do whatever you need. I'm going to really quickly count. Go,
okay,
now.
Okay, so I've got, like, a couple of, like, little points I'm going to just, like, drop in here. So my favourite one-liner in the film is, sounds disgusting, let's go, which is when there's, like, two characters, I think they're just talking about getting it on, or, like, having sex in a hammock or something, and it sounds disgusting, and he's well up for it. Also, another thing you pointed out to me that I really appreciated is that the van that the kids drive has a Bruce Springsteen bumper sticker on it. So that's, you know, a little something special in there. It's a little treat in the background that they dropped in there for Tommy D on the year of his birth. Just be like, yeah, some kid who's going to appreciate this in, like, 33 years time.
It's 12 kills. There were 12 kills.
12 kills.
Which makes
it
the bloodiest Friday the 13th movie so far, with them being Friday the 13th Part 1, 11. Friday the 13th Part 2, 10, although we only counted 9. This one,
I mean, this one is definitely, streaks ahead.
No, they weren't all zingers, man. They weren't all zingers, but they can't all be zingers. That is the age-old adage. But the ones that were zingers, oh my God, they zung. Oh. They zung so hard, man. Okay, so in reverse order, as always, Todd Jordan, Toddly T's top three kills of Friday the 13th, part three. The bronze medal, number three, goes to the third gang member in the barn. This is the dude. He's like a mean guy. He's trying to find, I think, the main girl so that he can beat her up because he tried to rob her wallet earlier and she wasn't having any of it. The rest of his gang have gone into the barn. They've all been picked off by Jason in quite mediocre kills. He goes in. This is a fairly basic kill, which is just Jason jumping out. He doesn't have the mask or anything. He just jumps out and he kills him with a machete. What is brutal about it is, Tom, and even you remarked upon this at the time, the music cuts. You don't see it happening. The gang guy falls to the floor. You just see Jason swinging the machete and what you hear is this noise. For like a really long time.
Oh, he's just hacking away.
Just into the meat.
What? I mean, the then strange callback to that is that that guy at the very end of the film is not dead after having been hacked with a machete at least five times, probably in around like the throat area by Jason. He pops up and is like, kind of like, ah, have at you, Jason. Jason then proceeds to chop his hand off and then do exactly the same thing to him and just hack repeatedly at him. Like, dude is hard as nails.
It's good. It's good.
It was good. It was a different kind of kill that we haven't seen in any of these other films, just because it was just like, ooh, that's a little bit real. That's just a little bit kind of like, sort of like meat and bone.
Yeah. And had that been in Friday the 13th Part 2, that would have been my top kill of that. Mm. So this is testament to the Part 3.
It's top quality killing.
Todd Jordan, Toddly T's silver medal, second best kill in Friday the 13th Part 3. I'm going to give to Andy, the kooky boyfriend that does the handstand. This is another machete kill. So this is a slightly, if you haven't seen the film, this is a slightly elaborate setup. So Andy's girlfriend is having a shower, okay? And Andy surprises her by like doing a handstand and walking on his hands into the bathroom. And she's like, what? I think we're supposed to think, is it going to be Jason? She pulls back the curtains and it's her boyfriend standing on his hands. And he goes, do you want a beer? And she goes, yeah, okay, go get me a beer. And for some reason, he like walks out of the flat to go get her a beer still on his hands. And he's like walking, even though she's just still in the shower, he's like walking around on his hands. So you got to picture this. His legs are up in the air, like completely akimbo. Jason walks up with this machete. And oh, you better believe you can guess what he could do, what he does then. But right, like down the legs, like right through the...
Bang, pow.
Yeah, right
in
through
the,
powerhouse. it's like, that bit's pretty cool. But then it's when she discovers him afterwards, Jason's like bundled all these pieces of him up and like popped them in their sex hammock that they have. And
or above the sex hammock.
Yeah.
She's kind of like, where is he? Oh, I forgot about that very quickly. I'm going to read a magazine. And then she starts reading a magazine article about 25 year anniversary of Godzilla. Then
it's just good.
And then she cops it and gets stabbed through the chest with a machete, but that is not a top three.
No, it's close. It's close.
So top three. I think I know what it's going to be.
I think you definitely know. Todd Jordan, Toddly T's number one gold medal kill of Friday the 13th, part three, has to go to Rick. Yes, Rick, the main love interest of the main girl.
The worst man in the film.
The worst, the terrible boyfriend that is way too old for her and is just a total douche throughout. Who's also, he wears a jumper very similar to Mrs. Voorhees' blue jumper that wields all the power over Jason in the second film. There's a bit where the main girl, whose name we haven't learned, runs into the house to be like, what's going on in here? And then, like, she runs back out and we see that her boyfriend Rick is kind of, he's pinned against the wall outside. Jason's behind him with his hand over his mouth.
Like, I mean, like a sleeper hold, yeah.
Like, help! Like that. Like suffocating him. And I thought that was the death. I thought that was it, that we wouldn't see. And I was like, that's cool. There's something kind of like instinctively primal about that. There's this kind of haunting thing, because the girlfriend doesn't know it's happening. We just see her run out, and we can see that the boyfriend's being suffocated just around the corner, but she can't see. She runs back in. And if that had just like cut there, I would have been happy with that. That would have been cool.
But no,
Tom, they went a little bit further, because, you know, three movies in, they've got to really pull all the stops. So what Jason then does is, he could have just snapped his neck, could have just waited for him to stop breathing. No, he squeezes his head, and then one of his eyes just pops out of his head directly towards you, the viewer, which in 3D must have been literally eye-popping. And my goodness me, I was up out of my seat, both hands in the air, cheering. It was so good. I couldn't have wished a better death on a more horrible character.
Yeah.
It was wonderful, and I applaud the filmmakers for it.
It was a mighty moment. Because you see, like, oh, is this going to happen? Is it going to happen? And it's meant to be 3D. Oh, it did. Boom. Oh, it would have taken my eye out if that had been a real thing. And I think that brings us nicely along to like the amount of 3D.
They handled it well.
So obviously the film was shot in 3D. We're not watching it in 3D, but by golly, you can tell the shots that were meant to be in 3D. There's a lot of broom handles in this pointing right at the camera. And there's quite a lot, and we went through and like noted down, like, so like, you know, you got the opening credits, they're all like bam, 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 trying to punch you in the face. A lot of broom handles. So I just want to like run down like maybe what some of like the better bits are, like some of like the
please do. I would like to hear Tom Denny's top 3 3D moments Friday the 13th 3.
See, you have already said the eyeball, the popping out eyeball in 3D. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm gonna let you have that.
That's very gracious of
you. And we're just gonna we're not gonna have that one.
There's plenty of other
3D moments. So I want to start off, I think, actually. Oh, fuck, it's too hard to do 3. So I kind of want to start off on a light one, that when the guy's all in the back of the van, right, and they're heading off to around Crystal Lake, and Cheech and Chong, it's like the stoner couple are in there, and they're just like smoking this weed, and they're like, hey man, you want some? And this joint just goes boom, straight out down the barrel of the camera, like out into the audience. And that's just like, it's so unsubtle, but I just like that it's like, you know, it's not a broom handle, it's someone just being like, you want some weed? We're obviously gonna die later in the film. That was good.
I think it's a solid moment. It's a good like sponsorship
point. Yeah. Plenty of other moments that appear, like lots of broom handles. There's a dead snake that pops out. But they're not on my list.
What has made the coveted list?
So, silver medal. In the first two films, you had Crazy Ralph, who's the crazy foreboding guy.
It's got a death curse.
R.I.P. He's no longer here. So instead, we get like this one-off hobo guy who is lying down in the middle of the road to just warn them. Warn the kid, who just like the kids go like, hey hobo guy, why are you lying in the middle of the road? Like, oh, you're such nice kids. Doom and gloom is gonna come your way. And he's like, I've got an eyeball here in my pocket. Do you want to see it? And he just holds an eyeball out to the camera, just and shoves it in your face. And it's like, look at this eyeball. And it's just the most superfluous scene in the film, because you never see anything more of eyeball hobo again in the film. His warning just kind of breezes by. No one talks about him ever again. No one's like, oh man, I'm really bummed out about what that hobo said. He just pops up. He's just lying in the middle of the road and is like, hey, you want to see my eyeball, kids? And shoves it right in the lens.
Do you think eyeball hobo might be from the future and he's got Rick the bad boyfriend's eyeball? Because otherwise, where did he get the eyeball from?
My God. Maybe.
It's the only logical explanation.
Maybe we'll find... Maybe that'll come like in one of the later films where he travels back in time. Like in Jason X, he's like, I've got to warn people.
About the death curse.
About the death curse. So that's my number two. Okay. So it's still kind of gory, but just random.
Mm-hmm.
It was just completely out of nowhere. And then there's plenty of other things. There's like, you know, nice punching of a fist through glass. There's yo-yos. There's juggling. But the best one has to be, there's even popcorn. Someone makes popcorn and it shoots right at the camera. Best bit has to be Jason shooting the girl that wears all red in the face with a harpoon gun. He's standing at long distance and he just like snipes her with this harpoon gun and it just goes like whoop right out the camera, plonk, right in the eye. It's definitely a plonk. She falls into the lake. Plonk number two, and you're like, damn, that was good.
A two plonk use of 3D.
It was a two plonker. There's another. I think the last bit of 3D is Jason's hands coming out of the audience. That's good, but I just don't think it was as strong.
No. It was. I mean, it was there. It was an attempt to be visceral.
It lingered, and I think the thing with 3D is you want it to be like. You want it to like be like boom.
Mm. What's this thing in my peripheral vision?
Yeah,
get it out.
Yeah, you want the surprise, I think. So yeah, that was those are my 3D kills.
Well, damn, man, there's a strong representations. I mean, the movie, I'm gonna say I liked it a lot.
I liked it a lot as well.
I would like to know. We've seen three now. We're certainly not aficionados, but we're dipping our toe in the water. Could you please, for me and for our good audience, Tom, could you rank them in order of your favourite from least to most?
I don't know. I think that least would be two.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'd be inclined to agree.
I am really struggling between this one and the first one. The first one is definitely a good film. But this one just like has just something, this kind of like... it's just coming at you from all angles.
It's a bit more of a comic book experience, I think.
Yeah, and I kind of like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. But, you know, like, this film wouldn't exist without the first one. But for me, like, this is like, really got the pace. Like, it's punchy. It's kind of ridiculous. Like, the kills are over the top. You've got the weird 3D element. It's a real winner for me.
That sounds good. I can get on board with that.
Well, where would you put?
I agree with you about number two. It is a good film, but it is the weakest one so far. Mm. I'm going to put three in the second place.
Mm.
It does a lot of cool stuff, but yeah. It kind of could be any slasher.
I mean, yeah, I agree with you. My tendency is always to lean to like the ridiculous, stupid shit, but... You know, yeah.
I still crave that tone of the first one. That
yeah, I think that's
dreamy classic tone.
I think in a lot more fun, I would say three. What is a better film? I would say one.
Mm. And that's fair.
Yeah. Just quickly, just before we wrap up, like to address the ending.
Mm.
So the ending again does the jump scare out of nowhere. This time, the main girl, she like goes out on. I'm sorry, we keep on forgetting the characters' names, but they just
no one ever calls anyone by name.
The main girl goes out on a boat, harking back to the first film, and instead of Jason Voorhees jumping out the water, it is zombified Pamela Voorhees with head jumps out and drags her in, and you're like, no, what the fuck? And then again, it then just cuts to her being led away. By police, like it hasn't happened.
Mm. Like it's another dream. Three for three so far. Every movie has ended.
So I just really, I mean, I appreciate it, and I think three is good. You know, three films. I think you can do that, but I think four, you can't do that anymore.
Okay,
that's what I'm saying for like the next one. I think they got to get away from doing that.
Well, what do you want? I mean, in many ways, we're kind of. We're set up, we finally arrived at Friday the 13th. You know, we've got Jason in the hockey mask.
Well, the film ends, like, also in this dream sequence, Jason is still alive and, like, manic without the mask on with this, like, massive axe wound in his head.
Mm.
But then it turns out, no, he's dead in the barn.
Mm.
So I'm thinking maybe this one, maybe they'll have a bit of a change, that he will come back and he will be even more unstoppable. He will be undead.
Okay, you're thinking we're finally getting to the supernatural kind of almost
so.
Zombie Jason.
Yeah, because I thought that we would be getting to that. You know, I keep on thinking we're going to get to the supernatural thing, but no, it's not happening. Although they had this, like, having that Pamela Voorhees, like, zombie tease was, I think, a bit like, ah. Yeah, like, and it's I really like it, but you know, like when it happened, we were both like, oh, the fuck. And then it cut back to just her being like led away in a police car, being a bit crazy. And it's like, you know, like, do you know, I want one of these films to do something, drop something crazy at the end and stick with it. Yeah,
no, that's fair enough. Yeah, I think what I would like to see, and again, what I would like to see isn't necessarily what I expect to see. Two different things. Coming out of left field, I think I want to leave Crystal Lake.
I was thinking exactly the same thing.
I'm ready for that. I'm ready for Jason in the Town now. Maybe because, not for Manhattan.
No, but like Manhattan is in like number 9. Like, it's like, how many more fucking films are we going to have to spend in this bloody camp? I mean, it can be, I think, you know, it's a really good setting, but that is a lot of time to spend in log cabins. A lot of log cabins have a lot of fire extinguishers.
Well, yeah, they always... They do. But the woods are a cool setting and people running through the woods and stuff.
No, I think it's a great... It's a good setting, but it's like, oh, fucking hell, if we've got to wait that long to get to, like... Like Manhattan or hell or space.
Yeah, we're gonna go a lot of places with this guy.
I know, but just come on. You know, like yeah, I think like 3. You know, it's a good trilogy. Now I think we need to like mix it up.
All right. Well, we will see next time we gather around this microphone
to watch dilly.
Friday the 13th. Thank you very much for joining us again. This has been, as always, a lot of fun. Hit us up on Twitter and Facebook, Bitter End Pod, if you're interested.
Please do. Send us your comments about the films.
Yeah, we'd love to hear them. And we will be reporting back very shortly. Thanks very much.